when we talk among ourselves, the Bible says that if you read Malachi chapter 4, it speaks of, maybe we can even go there, so that we can just have an understanding of why what we speak to one another as believers is very important. And if you just go to Malachi, the last before the New Testament, just go to, sorry, Malachi chapter 3, and from verse 16, okay, not even from verse 16, from verse 13, it says, "You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them. Just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." You know, anytime two people, that's why Jesus said, whenever two or three are gathered in his name, he's right there in the midst. Even in the Old Testament, you can see God was listening when the Israelites were talking. And the righteous people were saying, what have we gained by serving God? Going around like mourners. We've been mourning. Nothing is happening. But the wicked people are prospering. And God says, surely, yes, they will prosper. And they will continue to prosper. But, he says, God listened. And he opened a scroll of remembrance. There's a book. There are books in heaven. And one of the books is the book of remembrance. What did you do? What have you served God with? Your time, your consecration, your giving, your service. These are things that are written. You're not serving to gain salvation. These are things that you do after salvation in response to what God has already done. The Bible says we are God's handiwork, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2 verse 10. God, that means that whenever you give your life to Christ, you become a new creation. We know that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But then if you read Ephesians 2:10, it tells us that we are God's workmanship. That creation is created where? In Christ Jesus. So that means our creation happens in Christ. When he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, that means that, and he's, when he tells us we are seated with him in heavenly places, that means there are many places that God has prepared. He said, I have many mansions, and I've prepared a place for you. And when I go, I will come and take you to be with me. And then he says, I will come to you. I and the Father will come, and will make our dwelling place with you. That tells us that we are actually, for lack of a better word, we are bilocated. Physically, we are here, but spiritually, our position, where God has placed us, is at the right hand of the Father. We are in Christ. Our life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in God. And anytime, anyone who has this understanding, and maybe we can just look at it, Colossians chapter 3, it says that since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When Christ died and he resurrected, he raised us up with him. That's why in baptism, we symbolize our dying to ourselves and to sin. And then when we come out, we are resurrecting. So it's symbolic, eh? So now it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, That means we have been resurrected with Christ. What does it say? Set your heart, set your affections, set your emotions, set your desires. You see, these are the things that it is you to do. You see, there are things that Christ has done, but then there are things that you do as a person, and it's not even on your own effort. It's also God who helps you to do it. He says, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Verse 3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That means your life is now hidden. Like if anything is to look for you, it can't find you. And they will tell you, this guy, I've tried to, like, if you hear something, they say, we have tried to arrest you, or we have tried to bewitch you, we have tried to find you, but we can't find you. And they will tell you, this one don't bring, because I can't find the person. No, Africans, we know, if they want to call you, they can call you right now. They can call you all the way from Australia, and you will find your way back in the village, and you don't know what you are doing in the village. But because someone somewhere called you to come. But you see, when your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God, they can't find you. And that is why anyone who does not know their authority in Christ, the believer's authority, will spend their whole night fighting demons. Why? Because you don't know your position. What does Ephesians, let's quickly, Ephesians chapter 1. It says that, praise be to the Lord God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means that we come already blessed. The moment you come into Christ, you're already blessed. You're already blessed. You are seated. If you just jump to verse 20, it says that which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21 is the one I like. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What does that mean? The position of Christ in the heavens is in the highest place. And how does it say, how high is it? Far above. If there's a word like far in the heaven, you know the way... If you've seen how the galaxy they display, they can show you that that's one star is multiple of galaxies. Is like the solar system, multiple solar systems that we have. Now, this is just the distance in what the scientists can try. And this is the physical dimension. Now, think about the spiritual dimension. If the earth is, if just the solar system, just... the whole thing is so vast, and yet it is still the physical created things. Think of now how much more does exist in the spiritual dimension, which is the domain of God. And that's why when they say they saw thousands and thousands and thousands, count as in like they were trying to multiply the number of angels they could see. The guy was like innumerous and innumerous and innumerous. And all this come before the throne of God. We also are there. We are the church of the firstborn. Then they also say they are the spirit of just men made perfect. Yes, come in. Welcome, brother. Yeah, the spirit of just men made perfect. When we come to Mount Zion, welcome. When we come to Mount Zion, we come to the church of the firstborn. So who is the firstborn? Who is the firstborn? Jesus. He's the firstborn of every creation. Let's go. Colossians 1:15. is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. I know there are versions that like to say firstborn of all creation. Firstborn over. That means that Christ was not created. He was not created. But because a new creation was coming out, he has to be the firstborn of that. So now when we are that creation that came out, that is Christ, and now he is our head. We have read, he is our head and we are his body. As he is seated in heaven, his head needs his body to move, right? Can the head touch someone? No, but the head can guide. The head can lead. The head can control. The head can tell you don't go. So he is our control system. He is our guide. He is our wisdom. He is our leader. But then we are his body. That means that there are things that we might be expecting God to do, but he's expecting you to do it. When he tells his disciples, let's just look at that one. Matthew 28. We all know the Great Commission. And these are the things that every believer should know. And we'll read this, Matthew 28, and then we'll also read Mark 16. Maybe someone else can also open there. Matthew 28, if you can read from 16 to 20. Maybe if you can read from two different versions, at least King James, and then someone else can read NIV. Matthew, yeah, I want us to just get the word, yeah? Yeah, go ahead.
Then the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Okay. Someone else can read it in another version. Okay, maybe I can read it in King James. Okay. It says that from verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them and said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and to the very end of the world." I want to ask a question. When someone says, "All authority has been given unto me, go," has he conferred the authority on himself, or he has now given you the same authority?
He has sent you he has given me the authority.
Delegated and yes. Yeah. What he's saying, delegated. My authority I'm giving to you now, go.
True. So where does the authority lie now? In heaven and on earth?
The authority is now with the believer.
It's now with the believer. No, it's just like when you see the traffic policeman, the day he has his uniform and tells you, "Do this," unless you're in Juba where you have to dodge them. Because in Juba, at times, they're really after your money. So at times you say, "I've not seen." And you just, like most people just, when they see, they just do the lights. Like you say, you're also security. When they see this, they say, go. But in other countries, or in normal countries, let me say normal countries, when that man does this, What do you do?
Stop.
You stop.
Because of the authority.
Why? He has authority from
the state.
The state. Now the question is, the day he takes off his uniform and does this, that is a criminal. That is a criminal. So likewise, in Christ, when you put on Christ, you are that traffic policeman in uniform. When you decide to put off Christ, you are that commoner, who is trying to ask for a lift. That one, you're asking for a lift. You're not asking for for someone to stop. So the authority belongs to Christ, and it was given to him, but he gave it to us. He gave it to the 11 disciples. He gave it to the believers. Now, many believers do not know that the authority they have is theirs. And the way our God works is, if he has given you something and you're asking him for it, he will not answer that prayer.
Because you already have it. How can you say, please, can I have a shoe, when you already have 10 pairs?
Yeah.
And you are not using them.
You are not using the shoes. God has given you 10 pairs, and you are praying, Daddy, even your natural father, your son is asking, Daddy, please give me shoes. The guy is putting on shoes. He is looking at his legs, he thinks he's barefoot, but he has the shoes. So the believer does not know the authority that God has given them to stand in the gap on behalf of their family, to command certain things to stop. To say, today is the last day anyone in my family is dying. Spirit of death, you already defeated. For now, you have not yet been burnt, but you are the last enemy to be destroyed. So, to me, you're already done. Because death was sin, the wages of sin was death. But now the gift of God is eternal life, which I have received in Christ. So death has no power over me. Death has no power over any believer. It is the believer to decide when they are to die or not. Paul was telling people, my desire to go to be with the Lord. But I'm also thinking it is for your good if I stay. He says that to be with the Lord is even greater joy. As in, like, there's so many things I'm going through here. But for your good, for your sake, let me stay. He said, to be absent into the body is to be present with the Lord. So there are things that the believer, things that happen to us, it is us who have allowed it, based on our pattern of theology, pattern of doctrine, pattern of thinking, things we have been taught by the traditions and rules of men. And that is why repentance, when they say repent is not change of behavior or character. Repentance is metanoia in Greek, is change of your mind. You first have to replace the mind, because what happens is, Jesus Christ came to set us free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that knows the truth shall set them free. What did he complain about the Pharisees? He said, you Pharisees, you go land and ocean to convert one disciple, to find one disciple, and then you convert him to worse a son of hell than he was before. It is better that you will not even have brought him to the truth and then made him a slave. Now, that is what religion does. Religion sets you free at the beginning. You are told it is by grace you are saved. You don't need to do anything. Come to Jesus. He will save you. He will do this. And then, after you have come, you are now introduced to other laws again. But that's not the plan of God. Now the laws, they start telling you, you have to carry apostles' Bible. I want water. You have to carry apostles' Bible to get anointing. Is that in the Bible? They will show you, see, read the Bible, Elisha and Elijah. They say Elisha is the man who poured water on. But let me ask you a question. Is it Elijah who chose Elisha to be a servant?
Prophets are chosen by God.
Hmm?
Prophets are chosen
by God. When Elijah gave up, he said he wanted to die. He ran away from Jezebel. That was the day he lost his ministry. That day he was told, what are you doing here? Why? Because to God, you're the commander of the chariots of Israel. You have just called down fire from heaven. It has done this. You're the one, and then the word of a woman, Jezebel, just told you, before 24 hours I will do the same to you. And you took off. Do you know, to God he was like, no. This is not my prophet. This is not the representation of the authority of the believer that I have given. And immediately I was told, okay, eat. You need to go and meet God. The journey is long. The guy ate, he slept again. The angel woke him up, eat again. The journey is long. After he had eaten, then he now told, okay, now start the journey. And the Bible says he walked for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Mount Horeb. Then he was told, go and stand in the mouth of the cave. You will hear God is God, will come and talk to you. Then what he did first year, he had the, which one started? The wind, thunder. The thunder, the fire, the wind. Now that tells you a principle. God is not in the spectacular. Many times we look for God in the spectacular. We look for where things are happening. Da, 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 da. We want to see how you shake, how you do what, how people are falling. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, man, God is there. God is not in the spectacular, but God is in the supernatural. Supernatural is just a simple voice. This is the time to buy this land. It's just a simple... You just wake up in the morning and you just know, oh, today I need to call this person. And you know that's how God speaks to us. Just when you wake up, the first voice you hear is from God. Because he was just waiting for you to be out. Just before you get distracted by so many things. That is, when you wake up and you have a song in you, that means your spirit is alive, my brother. You are alive in spirit. Why? Because even at night, the angels were just enjoying, just waiting for you to wake up so that they can just release some key messages. And at times it's just a song. And that song, never despise that song. That first, it's like a key. It's like a gateway. It's like God is ushering you into a... He's like, you know what God does? He always gives you the first step. He never shows you the full step. He just gives you the key. You despise it. It's okay. 2 years later, you will see someone doing the same thing you are supposed to do. And doing it even much better or even worse, but they have all the funds, they have everything. Because they executed. And some things in God are time bound. Like if you didn't get certain things before COVID, like there's a guy, I think I was reading, I was listening to the testimony in Uganda. He before COVID, he belongs to this church of, I've forgotten his name, Ochola. There's a pastor called... Making Jesus Famous, yes. So this guy is a businessman, and he's saying that before COVID, it's like God just told him, by the way, go and import these masks, sanitizers, what. He didn't even think what for. So he just made an order. He made containers, sanitizers, face masks. You will think that it's like he was one of the planners of the
pandemic.
And that time it was cheap. So he just brought them. And then COVID hit, the thing shut down. No one can find these things. The guy became millionaire in millions. Huh? But that's the simplicity of the supernatural. It is so simple. It could even be the voice of a child.
children come and tell him, Mom, Dad, I dreamt like this. You people were in an accident, and you just take it lightly. It's because you are too busy to hear. And so God has to find the person who can hear and so give you the same message. And it's not for you to cancel that in prayer. You have authority to rebuke the devil. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not God to resist the devil on your behalf. You're asking God to bind the devil and he's looking at you. You're asking God to cast out the devil and he's looking at you. You're asking God to heal the sick and he's looking at you. He said, he told his neighbor, go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devils, cleanse the lepers. And what did they come and say? Lord, can you believe it? Even the demons submit to us in your name. Then Jesus tells them that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That means it was supersonic speed. You know, there's a part where it says, I've forgotten where it is. It says that in that day when we shall see the devil and we shall see how small he is, and we'll be like, is this the guy who harassed the whole world through deception and portrayed the image that he is so powerful that people spend Kesha's 3 days what casting out devils, and they pour anointing oil in their cart, in their car, in their towel, in their water, they are drinking anointing oil. All symbols, yet the reality is found in Christ. The reality is found in the believer knowing their authority. Now, faith is now. Faith is a substance. Which faith definition do I use? Romans 10. Let's go to Romans. Sorry? Oh, yeah, the faith comes by. Yeah, that one you know. Yeah. Yes, let's go to it. But it's good to open so that we, at times, you know, I can quote many things and you'll be like, is this. Yeah. Romans 10. You can read from verse 5 up to 15.
For Moses writes about the righteous, that is the law. The one who does these things will live by them. But the righteous, that is by faith, says, do not say in your heart, who are sent into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend?
I want you to stop there before. Who will descend into the deep? And then it says, just finish that statement before you get to 8. I want us to understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ from the dead, up from the dead.
Look at that. When Moses was teaching the law, and he was right, because that is what God showed him, right? That was the pattern God showed him, because the law, God is a respecter of patterns. Eh? Let me assure you. There are things that men do nowadays, and God honors. Why? Because he respects this pattern is being done in faith. Eh? So you find when people are fasting even 100 days, at the end of the day, God will be like, okay, you wanted anointing, I'll give you. But it is not what he wanted. But because he respects anyone who diligently seeks him, that's why you should not despise anyone with their faith. Even whatever they are doing, as long as they are trying to seek God, there is a way that God honors. And those who diligently seek him, like the Gentiles, you can look at Cornelius. The Bible says that he was a worshipper of God. He did not know Jesus. He did not know the truth. But God honored him that he was a worshipper of God. There are many Gentiles, even is it Lydia, who was a worshipper of God. And because they were worshippers of God, God was like, this one, let me now teach them the way. Even those people who are lost in certain religions and certain denominations, those that are genuine along the way, God brings them to the truth to set them free. Why? Because he sees their heart. He knows that this one is a lost sheep. This one is just, he fell in the hand of robbers. And because the robbers are really masquerading them, but the heart is after God. And that's why many people, even in those wrong ministry, they still get their miracles and they believe it is the man of God, but it's the mercy of God. Because God can use even a wrong person to bless you. Why? Because to you, you're after God. And because if you don't, because there are some people who will only be attracted to by prophecies. There are some people who will only be attracted to by miracles. There are some people only will only be attracted when they are being told you're going to prosper tomorrow. Oh, you're going to receive a breakthrough. That is the understanding of God. And even though they are babies, they are still children of God. And that is what God honors. And it's like, okay, if it is the house that will make you happy, take. Because babies, they want toys. Oh, I want to go to Sarit. Oh, I want to go where? Take. But if your 20-year-old son asks you for that, you'll be like, for what? You get? Because there's a point of maturity that God expects. You're not after things. You find the real. So now, before we jump from this, it says that Moses described this way, that the righteous is by the law, that the one who does these things, look at the difference, eh? The one, it was about your doing. That is the difference of the law. The difference of the law is about your doing. And I assure you, there's no one who can do those 10 commandments. There is no man, whether you are whoever, has the capacity or has ever fulfilled the 10 commandments without breaking one. Because the law says if you break one, you have broken the 10. Simple. That is why righteousness could not be attained by the law. That is why there was need for a new covenant. The old covenant cannot attain righteousness. The blood of bulls cannot attain your righteousness. Anything in that 10 list cannot attain your righteousness. It is a shadow. That's why the Bible says it is a shadow. The reality is found in Christ. Now, when you believe Christ, that means that everything he has done fulfilled the whole. That's why it says, Christ, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came as a fulfillment to it. Some people say, no, okay, he did not destroy it. So it should still persist. But when he says, I did not come to abolish, but I came to fulfill it, that means when something is fulfilled, that means that every requirement of the law is met in Christ. All those where blood should be shed 7 times, his blood was poured in 7 places. All that's why the Passover lamb, the blood is the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Oh, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everything you read in the Leviticus is just pointed to Christ. Everything in the law pointed to Christ. Oh, the Sabbath, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, the fasting. He said, why should they fast and I am with them? The bridegroom is with them. I'm not saying it is wrong, but I'm just saying there are things that what did they accuse Jesus of? That John the Baptist came fasting and eating locusts and honey. But Jesus, they accused him of what? Of being a glutton. Look, I'm just trying to point you in certain things, that there are things that are traditions, and traditions will never take you anywhere. Traditions will enslave you. Do not touch, do not handle, do not eat, do not taste, do not touch pork, do not do this, do not take tea, do not what. All these are rules taught by men. They have an appearance of wisdom, of self-imposed righteousness. But at the end of the day, when you study those people, they're actually more wicked. Those strict guys, those who are like that, they're actually slaves of the same things they do. Slaves of the same thing. And when they are caught, they disappear completely. You never hear about them. Because everything they said people do not do is the day they were caught. So now I want us to read verse 6. It says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, imagine you're facing a situation when you say, oh, Christ, come. Yesu shuka. Baba lazima ushuke. Father, you have to descend on this one. This one, I cannot do it. This is what he's asking us. Do not say in your heart. Do not say in your heart, who will bring Christ from up? And then do not also say in your heart, who will go to the deep to bring Christ from there? If he's in the grave, if he's in hell, who will go and bring him? Now, we are being told about the righteousness of our time now. What is the faith that we are supposed to have? Now, go to verse 8. I want you to read it. Just read it so that you see that it's not me saying it. I want you to read it yourself. You can even read verse 5, 6, and then read 7, 8 again. And then we'll go up to 10 so that you understand now what is the difference in our faith of now and the faith of Moses. Yes, go ahead. Okay, read from 7.
Okay. Oh, who descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach.
Okay, just stop there. Where is it? The word is near you. Where? In your mouth and?
In your heart.
That means that everything that you are asking from God is with you. Where is it? In your heart and in your mouth. And then continue.
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Stop there. If you confess, it starts with our confession, eh?
Yes, confess.
If you confess, so it's speaking, eh? If you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, eh, that Jesus Christ raised him from the dead,
that God has raised Jesus from the dead.
That Jesus is Lord, that is number one. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, this is how salvation is for us. Simple as this. I confess, nimeokoka, I am saved. Jesus is Lord. Yesu ni Bwana. The confession is, Jesus is Lord. That means Jesus is King, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is seated in the highest place in the heavens. Jesus has conquered everything. He is the owner of all things. He has filled the whole universe. He has filled me. He has filled all the chairs. He has filled all the organizations. He has filled everything. All this is, he has filled the whole universe, both heaven and hell. Everything is reconciled in Christ. Jesus is Lord, number one. And then number two, believe in your heart.
Yes, that God has raised him from
that the God dead. That this Jesus that is Lord is not dead. That means that we are speaking of a resurrected Christ. He is a risen Lord and he is alive today. He is not in the grave and he is not different from the Jesus that walked the streets of Galilee. He is not different. And then he tells you that, now I want us to understand two things. There is something called the confession, which is your mouth speaking. Now that comes from your brain. I want us to understand something deeply here. When you speak, where has that come from? It has come from your brain. That means your physical faculty commanded your mouth to speak it. Now, have you ever said something and believed something in your heart? Different. When someone is telling you come and eat and you say no, I'm actually okay, but in your heart you're hungry.
You're just being, trying to be modest. But
you're being, in your heart you're modest, but in your mouth you are saying no, I'm okay, my brother, I'm fine. I'm okay, but inside you're not.
You're dying.
Oh,
this food is delicious.
The smell itself is killing you.
Yeah.
That is telling us that we have two centers of authority in us.
The body and the spirit.
The body and the spirit. Your mind is also your soul. This is the seat of your emotions, your will, and your intellect. This is your ego. This is you. Because there are people who believe we are tripartite, in that we have the body, soul, and spirit. There are also people who believe we are bipartite, which we have the outside man and the inner man, of which combine the soul and the spirit together. Okay, so I don't want to go into those distinctions. We might never fully understand it because it's a koinonia, it's a fellowship, it's a mystery. Yeah, it's just like the same way God is Trinity. God is three in one and is still one. It's a mystery. how they are one at the same time they are three is still a mystery. But we believe it as it is. Now, it's the same way that it's hard to separate soul and spirit. So at times I believe, I prefer to say your inner man, who is you, and your outer man, who is what we see. Now, your inner man must also believe what your outer man is saying. Now, when James says that, let's go to James, so that I also don't outquote it. I want you also, so that you will write the notes later. I'm sorry, I won't give you notes because I don't have them. You can see. James chapter 1 verse 5. I want us to see something, if you can read it. James chapter 1 verse 5 to 8. I want you to read that because I want us to understand something about being double-minded. James chapter 1 verse 5 to 8.
Many of you lack wisdom. You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Sorry.
It's okay. Basically, we are being told, if you read from, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously unto all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt.
Yes.
That means his mouth and his heart must say the same thing. And then number, it says, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, which is blown and tossed by the wind, and that man should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. At times we think doubt is coming from somewhere else, but doubt is your mind not agreeing with your mouth.
Because verse 10 also
verse 10?
It says, for with the heart one believes.
Mm-hmm. Romans,
yes. Yes. And that says righteousness. With the mouth one confesses, and thus is salvation.
Now, when God tells you are righteous, someone says, no, it says no one is righteous. But the same Bible says you're righteous. It says the righteousness that you receive is by faith. It's not of you. That means it is not you that earned it, and you cannot earn it. So righteousness is imputed. Why? People always wonder, how does God say that David is a man after my own heart? Yet he was a murderer. He was a wife stealer, adulterer. Because the Bible says David discovered there is a righteousness, there is a blessedness to the man who God does not count their sin against. You can read Romans 3, 4, 5. There is a blessedness and a righteousness that is not based on what the man has done, but is based on what Christ has finished. This is what is called the finished works of Christ. That it is God, when God looks at you, he does not see you, he sees Christ. Why? Because you are hidden in Christ, and Christ has already paid the price. He sees you as righteous. The Bible says, in his sight. To you, your mind will tell you are not righteous.
All the time.
All the time. But now, if you read 1 John, it says, even if our hearts condemn us. That means your heart can decide to condemn you. Please look for it. I think it's 1 John chapter 5. There's a place where it says, even if your heart condemn us. But it says, perfect love casts out fear. That means fear has to deal with punishment. You are no longer under judgment of God. The Romans chapter 8, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in
Christ.
It is for you. And being in Christ Jesus is not, oh no, today I went to church. No, no, no. Being in Christ Jesus is, I believe you paid the price. Is that foundational teaching? And we will keep teaching that foundational until it sinks in. Because this, anytime it sinks in, the enemy brings in another thought. He steals that word. But your righteousness is not of yourself. It is not of yourself. It is in God's eyes. It is God that gives you that righteousness. It is God that clothes you with that righteousness. And that is why even when you go to cast out a devil, you're not going in your own righteousness. You're not saying, because I fasted three months, that's why I can cast out this devil. No. You just know that you are covered with the righteousness of God. You remind yourself. That is why when you take communion, you are reminding yourself you are part of the body. You are in the body. You are a broken part of the body. You are taking his blood. That's why taking communion is actually very important. Why? Because you are renewing your mind. That's why it's been told, be transformed in the renewal of your mind. So are you a saint? Yes. Are you righteous? Yes. Why? Because you are in?
Christ.
Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
I am a saint.
I am a saint.
I am holy.
I'm holy.
I am sanctified.
I'm sanctified.
I'm justified.
I'm justified.
And I am glorified in Christ.
And I'm glorified in Christ.
If you say that daily, you will see the difference. Now I want us to read one verse, then we'll finish. And please go and meditate on these things. Go and meditate on these things. Where is this verse that says Christ has become our righteousness, our redemption, our sanctification? Yeah, yeah, it is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. This is a verse that is so pregnant and is so filled that you'll need. And once you know this, you'll never be condemned. That's why I tell you, if you have purpose to fast and you fail to fast that day, and the devil wants to condemn you, you can't pray by telling him, but even if I failed, it was not a requirement for my salvation. It was unto God. And that's why I find it hard. You find someone teaches the grace so well, but then in other things, he teaches law to enslave you, to follow him. So it's you must, there's a time, in time you'll grow, you'll understand that this one is now man. And of course, people go wrong. It's true, people go wrong. Even though they are right, they are of God, but they are, in some things they go wrong because maybe God has not revealed it to them. You'll realize that, now this one is of man. This is not of God again. But I still honor him because there's something he has. I honor that. It's not that you run away from him when you find he has of man, because all of us have of man. And that's why true servants of God will tell you, pray for me too. Because God is also still working in me. No one is perfect. It says, verse 30, it says that it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, comma, who has become for us wisdom from God. So your wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So Christ is our, for us is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. I want to stop there and take reflections as you reflect on what God is speaking and the authority. Now that's the difference between faith and doubt. I remember the message is faith. Faith is these two things agreeing. Your inner man and your outer man agreeing. You're speaking and your heart agreeing. And not expecting God to bring Christ I'm not expecting him to come from down, but it is near you, it is in your mouth, it is near you. Your word of deliverance, your word of salvation, the answer that you want, the house that you want, the children that you want, the miracles that you want are not in heaven. They are not down. They are near you, they are in your heart. If you confess and you believe, the authority is yours. Why? You have every authority of that traffic policeman. You are now God's ambassador. God is making his appeal through so please, you're welcome for reflections and discussions. Feel free.
This bit of the body and the spirit.
Yeah.
And the spirit.
Yeah.
And with the struggle that the spirit should overcome.
Is willing.
Yeah.
And the flesh is weak.
And the flesh is weak. So we should always work to have the spirit take control of
Amen.
The body.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we are safe in the hand of Christ. So
Amen.
For me, that is part one.
Yeah, the four, the fight within us.
Yeah.
But you know, the beauty of that, if you finish Romans 7 and towards 8, Paul was saying, who will save me from this body of death? Eh?
Yeah.
Because I want to do this, I cannot. But then he says, but thanks be to Christ
Jesus. Yeah.
And then it now goes into 8. That means he was giving like a lecture.
Mm.
He was saying how hard it is. But then he gives us a victory. He does not leave us hanging, so we cannot say, me, I'm just struggling.
No, he wants to do the right thing, but
exactly. It's the same chapter, but don't stay there. He finishes in 8 and says, the law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. You have, that's why the scripture is not in chapters. It was one continuum. Eh? So you have to. And at times, even it was not arranged in the way. That's why there are some Bibles which are chronological. Eh? The version is a chronological Bible. That means they have arranged the Bible. You'll find you go from James to this part of, but like they have mixed it up in a way that it follows how it should have been written if it was sequential. And that's why I say, buy the truth. Find things that help you understand the truth. Look for application study Bible. That tells you the history. Okay, this was this way. By the truth. And you will never be tossed. And if you know the truth, you someone will be saying something. Who is sowing $1,000? Who is sowing? I was seeing a clip. No one was moving. They were just watching the guy. Until the guy said, okay, anyone with 50, just come. He came down from 1,000. But in the past, you will start with 1,000. People will run. 500 people will run, 200 people will run. But when people become enlightened, you will call, sweat, and they are just watching you. We are already blessed. We are not sowing to be blessed. Just ask, say there's a need. If someone is convinced in their heart to give, they will give. And people, when they are convinced, they will give. If they see the need is genuine, there's no one who wants to build a church. But if you're saying give so that multiplication happens, or tithe so that the devourer is rebuked. That is also Old Testament. Tithing, you don't pay tithes. In the Old Testament, they paid tithes. In the New Testament, we give tithes. There's a difference. In the giving, you are recognizing that you are also a child of God, that the church needs to run. There are Levites who need to be fed. There are the poor who need to be fed. You are giving out of saying that this money that God you have given me, also, part of it is also for you, God, your enjoyment. There's a difference between paying and giving. When you're paying, the pastor will follow you. I did not see your tithe last month. I've not seen your tithe. You are losing your spiritual cover. They go for it. They can even call you that you are losing your spiritual cover. Yeah, your spirit, it's like your subscription. Eh? Subscription your Wi-Fi will be cut off. It is happening. And that one is a robber. Run away.
And church has targets.
They have targets of
time. Yeah. That I'm an Adventist.
it's a big, for now, a very big discussion about those targets.
Targets of tithe, eh? And their fights.
The churches are struggling to get targets. And you see more poverty in church.
Yeah.
Because people in the countryside literally need
everything.
Everything.
To just meet the target.
How do you do this
target? Imagine.
That's why this teaching is quite helpful. I've also seen this other denomination ministries.
Yeah.
And I think some will see on the TV.
Yeah.
5,000. I don't want you hear a ministry.
What kind of offering is this?
What kind of offering is this?
Yeah, take it.
It starts 1 million.
Yeah.
5,000, I think it goes up to 10,000.
After that,
I remember this guy rejected somebody for 5,000.
Yeah. What is this offering? And this someone was given.
You start to ask yourself, what is it for? What is it for?
Yeah.
Just give you flashy lives.
No, I think it's the. That's why it's important that as believers, we understand the word.
Yeah.
Because you see, people are taking advantage of people that people don't understand what does the word say.
Yeah.
What is an offering?
Yeah.
What is a tithe?
Yeah.
You know, like I remember, I think was it 2 years back, I was facing a bit of spiritual challenges, so
yeah.
I spoke to one of the men of God.
Yeah, yeah. You're not tithing.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I spoke to him over WhatsApp. You know, so. He said to me, okay, what you can do is you can send your family to the church, let them come on Sunday, let them bring $1,000 as an offering so that I can then I from when he said that, because I understand.
Yeah, you knew you cannot buy this thing.
I never responded.
I
said I will not say anything.
Yeah.
I will not judge this man of God. But what I know is, if I want my healing, if I want my deliverance, you cannot put a condition. When I am blessed, I will say thank you.
You will give thanks from your heart willingly. You will decide what to give.
But he has given a figure. He said, bring $1,000.
Because he knows you're in the UN.
It is what they do.
So I said to myself, this guy doesn't know me. He doesn't understand in terms of my level of understanding of the word. I know the word, what the word says.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but so we are suffering. The believers are suffering because of lack of... Because the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. I think it was 6. Yeah. Because if you don't have the knowledge...
You will perish.
Yeah.
It's Robert, and let me assure you something. Each of you that God is opening your eyes, whoever you meet and is ready to be set free, God will tell you that time, set them free. When someone asks you, why are you not doing this? And you tell them, it's because of this. That will be an opportunity for you to preach that to them. So don't worry. Even if you're staying in the system you're in, it's not an issue. You can still be an ambassador in that area to make a difference. And to make sure that others are set free. And you challenge them because they will not hear someone external. If
it is true.
You understand me, right?
It is true.
I cannot preach in an Adventist church, right?
In fact, you're very right. Like last week, the LNG White Walls.
Yes.
There was a very big discussion I joined. Why we are so fixated with the day of worship. And the 10 all commandments. But when you speak about the fourth one.
Yeah.
We glorify that day.
Yeah.
So there's a young group now.
He's fighting it.
Please, the Sabbath is there, that's correct. But let us look at what the Bible says. God wants us to love one another. You know, the commandments. No. The 10 commandments, what happened to those other ones?
Yeah.
You know, and many more things.
Even dressing.
The people are so conservatist. Yeah. They don't want to change. And that debate is very complex.
It takes the opening of eyes.
Yeah, so when you move, some people think you're like, look, this is liberal. So they say now these are the liberal.
Liberal Adventists. But the reality, all denominations are going to face this.
Yes.
Why? Because God is returning the church to the original one body. That is why. When we talk like this, I didn't ask you where you are from. It is you to say which denomination you are from. Why? Because we are being brought into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You're a son of God. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God, whether you're a woman or not. In God, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. And you grow in maturity, and you grow in your understanding. And you grow that anything that you do, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, you do it unto the Lord. That means as you work in the office, you're worshiping God. That's why you do it well. Because it's a worship to God. And if you are effective as a teacher, you're even more effective than an apostle who is fake. You are effective. Your work is your worship. It is only, that's why it says it was some he gave, some. But the rest of the people are to do everything they do to do work, the works of ministry. This some, the fivefold, they have a responsibility to bring everyone to understand like them. Once they understand, they release them back to do what they are doing. And his job is to continue bringing others who are not understanding, they come to the truth. You are set free. You come to the truth, you are set free. So his job is to continue setting people free. That is why he is focused on that. And that is why, as Levites, they take something from that. You understand? Because they have purpose. They will not do normal work. Their job is to set people free. But now others set people free and then enslave them. Come and be cleaning my shoes. Come and be cleaning. Even someone cannot choose who to marry because the man of God has not chosen for them. You understand? You are converted to worse a son of hell than you were before. And the scripture says, like a dog going back to its own vomit. But God is setting people free. You are being set free. Your eyes are being opened. That's why Jesus said, blessed are you, for your eyes are seeing what others are not seeing. If your eyes can see, you are blessed. And thank God that you can see. And you are blessed. And please, if God has given you a church and you have been in a church, I don't want you to leave it. Personally, if God asks you to leave, fine. But if God gives you the insight that these people will never hear someone from outside, but they will hear me, and now that God has set me free, how can I leave these brothers of mine to suffer where they are in lost, and I can still be the one to challenge their thought pattern where they are? Let me go back. It's just like it's hard for you to reach to Indians. But if God raises an Indian who they have seen walking their streets, and then God empowers them, they will believe that guy. Because they say, this guy will grow up with him. Huh? They say, this one we know. Emmanuel we know. We were with him. We used to do parties with him. We know him. But if he's the one doing this, surely there is a God. Don't think God will bring someone else. It is you. Teaching nations. That's why we are four nations here today. Hallelujah. The Amen. Praise of God. Amen. Well, if you had a reflection, then you can. You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're good, then we thank God. That was, the service is done like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let us give thanks to God. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. Thank you for the teaching of your word. All these insights are not from me, they are just from you, and you have been here in our midst teaching us. And I pray even as we shall listen to these audios again, that you shall continue to speak more and more to us. You shall expound this mystery to us of the authority of the believer and the things that we are expecting you to do and you are expecting us to do. May we have the authority to know that we are to cast out devils in your name. We are to heal the sick in your name. We are to raise the dead in your name. We are to speak to whatever situations. The word is in our hearts. It's near our mouth. And we are to rule and conquer and have authority over the earth and over the everything and over dominion over all principalities, all powers, all angels, all everything. They are under our feet because we are in the highest place. And we cannot be worshipping angels and be disqualified by those who honor and worship angels, because we are higher than all that. And we are grateful that the devil is under our feet, demons are under our feet, witchcraft is under our feet, sickness is under our feet, poverty is under our feet, and in you we have the redemption, we have the sanctification, we have the glorification. We have life, and that life is the life of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have that hope that we are set free. Thank you for opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts to not only confess with our mouths, but also to believe in our hearts, that we shall not be double-minded to depend on men and at the same time trying to depend on God, and fully be settled in the faith that you have given us, and you have finished it, and you have won the victory for us, and we are your body, and we are doing the work that you need us to do on the earth. That's why whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and we do the binding. We thank you that you've helped us and you answer prayers. Thank you for every situation in our family. We speak life. Every dead situation, receive life. Every sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. Every dead thing, come back to life. Lazarus, come forth. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.